10, 15.
Back upfield to the 35, to the 40, 45, 50.
Pass the 50.
35, 40.
Pass the 30.
To the 20.
Inside the 20.
You got to be kidding me.
To the 10.
Whoa! He scores!
He's all the way home.
The no flags!
Oh, my God. Holy moly.
They're not going to keep him off the field tonight.
One of the greatest upsets in sports history.
Hello again, everyone. This is the Old College Try. This is your host, Tim Hyland, and joining me, as always, is my co-host, Mike Unger. Mike, it's been a while. How are you?
I'm doing great, Tim. This is our first show of the year, and already we've had our first technical difficulties, just like the same manner in which we start each season. We had a couple issues with getting the Zoom up and running, but I'm doing great. I'm happy to be talking college football with you. How are you?
Oh, just great, Mike, as you know.
No stresses at work. Everything's going smoothly, right?
No, thinking big picture here. So it is August 17th, and it's crazy to think that we will have college football now in, what, 9 days, Mike? 9 days.
Yeah, a week from Saturday is week zero, and I'm fired up for it.
It's going to be a very interesting year, and I think a very interesting 3 to 5 years, but we'll get more in there later. How has your spring and summer been, Mike?
It's been pretty good. Haven't been traveling as much as I normally do, which for various reasons, but it's been nice kind of, you know, enjoying Baltimore and spending more time around the city and hanging out. So it's been good. We did go on one trip to Asheville, North Carolina, which is just a beautiful part of the country. Went to my cousin's wedding and we went hiking and saw a family of bears out in the middle of the woods. That was thrilling. Check that off my bucket list. Always wanted to see a bear in the wild. And so, yeah, it's been nice. Where did the Highlands vacation this summer?
We were in Lake George, New York, which is lovely. A town called, I cannot recommend it more highly, Bolton Landing. Just gorgeous. Absolutely gorgeous. Great lake. One downside to Lake George, though, I'm like, you know, I like to fish, right?
Mm-hmm.
I was all excited to fish. And unfortunately, there's like literally not 1 inch of shoreline of Lake George that you can fish from. You need a boat to fish in Lake George. Yeah.
So, elitist.
No, it's, yeah, not the best. But
Bolton Landing, I'm a big fan of lakes, though. Lakes are outstanding.
Oh, yeah, it was really nice. And I think sometimes, too, like, you know, like just getting physically away from your day-to-day normal nonsense, it is somewhat freeing, right? It's perspective. Like, all of a sudden, Anna, my older daughter, now going to be a senior in high school, Mike. Leah, my younger, is a freshman in high school this year. They've started their fall sports. So Anna's started her senior of water polo. Leah started soccer for freshman year. Jack will be a sophomore. He goes back to Penn State on Saturday. So we're back at it. And again, college football right around the corner. Mike, there's much to discuss. And some of this stuff would, at this point, I guess in theory, you could have thought it possible this time last year, but it is somewhat absurd, right?
Mm-hmm. Absurd's a good word for it.
I mean, I look back and I understand why this is happening, but like my first word for it is like, this is really silly. This is just like, none of this really makes sense. And it's just, it's driven home what we all know for a very long time. And going back far beyond this decade, it goes back decades, 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 decades. College football is a money-driven sport. And it always has been. And it's also survival of the fittest. Of course, I'm referring to what's happened with realignment. So it was what, this time last year, maybe, that UCLA and USC announced they're going to the Big Ten, which of course makes no sense whatsoever. Then came the shockwave, somewhat out of the blue, that Oregon and Washington will also be joining the Big Ten. So the Big Ten now will be, how much is it? Are we at 16, Mike, or 18? We're at 18, correct?
18.
Which also 18. Is ridiculous. Look, it positions the Big Ten, of course, to be right alongside the SEC in terms of money, at least, and television deals and the rest of it. And then we had Arizona, Arizona State, and Utah flee to the Big 12. It must be said, Brent Yormark, the Big 12 commissioner, has done a masterful job, correct, Mike?
Yes. I mean, he seems to have positioned the Big 12 as the top conference in the non-Power 2, Power 5, and which is now Power 4.
There's George Kliavkov, who I don't – he does not deserve all the blame. He was handed a crappy hand, but also did not do the best job, Mike.
Correct. I think that's a great assessment.
Which leaves out west, we have Cal and Stanford, who, of course, are wonderful institutions that unfortunately have no appeal in football. And what breaks my heart, we've been there. I hate to see Oregon State left out in the cold and Washington State as well. This happened so fast, Mike, over the course of days, correct?
Yeah. I mean, from what you read, there was a meeting, whatever week this happened, maybe 2 weeks ago, like that Thursday, where people really thought the Pac-12 or 10 or whatever it was at the time was going to survive. They were ready to sign their deal. And for whatever reason, it all collapsed like within 24 hours. It's nuts.
And some of the details too about, and this is what it's so dog eat dog. And what does a handshake even mean anymore? Or what's your word mean anymore? There was that meeting basically that was like the last chance for the Pac-12 to survive, and Oregon and Washington just didn't show up.
Like, yeah, they just weren't. They weren't there. The writing was on the wall.
It's so crappy. But anyway, let's break this down bit by bit. Let's start with this. What are your thoughts on the impact of Oregon / Washington to the Big Ten? On the upside, I will say this. It makes USC and UCLA make more sense from a logistics standpoint. That it's like a short flight from Portland to Los Angeles, but I mean, it's...
right. There is that. I mean, what I'm about to say is not revolutionary. Others have said it, and it's just something that I agree with. And that's, you have the television networks, Fox and ESPN, are essentially ruling college football.
Yeah.
And what they have done is they have looked at the NFL, which is the most popular and profitable sport in America, or one of them in the world. And they have decided that they want to take college football and make it a mini NFL, so it is more profitable for them. Because it's more profitable for them, it will, some of that money will trickle down to the institutions. The Fox and ESPN have no obligation to say they're doing anything for the betterment of the game, for the good of the game, for the good of the sport. And apparently the presidents, chancellors, and athletic department directors are just simply incapable of passing on the money. And so they are making moves that they're doing for absolutely no reason other than money. And I'm not naive enough to sit here and say like they shouldn't be doing it. The money, we both work at universities and we understand how important money is to universities. It trickles all over the campuses. It affects not only athletic departments, it affects all aspects of the university. But what we have here is simply Fox and ESPN trying to turn college football and succeeding into a mini NFL. You're going to have, it doesn't matter where you are in the country. Like in the NFL, the 49ers fly out to go play the Carolina Panthers 1 week, right? And then they get on a plane and fly right back. And instead of that, now you're going to have Oregon flying to Maryland and playing and then flying right back. And it de-emphasizes the regular season. You know, the 12-team playoff was a step in this direction too. We used to love the magnitude of the regular season college football. Well, that's pretty much gone. I mean, you're just going to have, you know, teams playing essentially for the postseason. And so that's basically what's happening. And as far as Washington and Oregon, they're nice additions, you know, from a football playing perspective. And I agree, they pair nicely with USC and UCLA. What I would like to see happen, and there's no chance of it happening, is Stanford and Cal join the Big Ten.
Yep.
You chop the Big Ten up to in half. You have a Big Ten West with the six West Coast schools, and you send Minnesota, Nebraska, Iowa.
Yep.
And one other, Wisconsin, in that division. And you have 10 schools in each division. You play everyone in your division once and maybe one crossover game. And then the Big Ten title game is played at the Rose Bowl. That would be the perfect solution. It's not going to happen, but yep. I can just hear you. I thought I'd spoken so much that you needed a minute to take it all in.
No. So you said two divisions, play the Big Ten title game at the Rose Bowl, right?
Yeah. That's what would make the most sense for me from a fan perspective.
Right. So
it's not going to happen.
No, it's not going to happen. I saw a very I will not say heartbreaking because but you saw the report about the Big Ten planning to play the Big Ten title game in Las Vegas at some point.
Oh God, that is god awful.
That's awful, right?
That any pretense of you having any kind of soul is gone if you do that.
Oh, it's the worst. I'll say this. Like, I'm trying to, like, on the positive side, again, like, if you're a Big Ten fan, as a Penn State fan, am I excited about playing games against USC, UCLA, Oregon, and Washington? Like, yeah, it's cool. I like that.
Yeah.
I prefer that to playing Rutgers, to be honest with you, or, you know, Illinois. But, like, of course, one of the things that everyone's talked about as well, and it's like, look, my daughter Leah, she's never going to play D1 softball, but she could play like at a Lehigh maybe, or at a D3 school or whatever. What they're going to ask these poor Olympic sports athletes to do, or even basketball, is twice a week, right? It's like Wednesday, Saturday, basically, to fly across the country twice a week to play basketball. It's ridiculous. Or the track team, or the whatever field hockey team, and no one gives a shit, right, Mike? That's the least thing they think about. I don't like that.
They don't think about it at all. I mean, it is just not, it's not even an afterthought, it's a no thought. But don't you think we've at least reached the point where everyone can agree, just decouple football from all the other sports in terms of conferences and things like that, right? Yeah. There's no reason that there should not be a Pac-12. They're awesome in all the Olympic sports, and they're awesome in basketball, and they're great in soccer. I mean, there's no reason that they, especially because all your travel costs are going to go way up, and we know money is the only thing that matters, unfortunately, in all these situations. So I don't see why they just don't decouple football at this point.
We may get there at some point. We may. The last thing I'll say on Oregon, Washington, the Big Ten. Again, I don't think, well, again, the powers that be don't care. And this is like one of the things I always think about. Like, it is not. So Greg Sankey, the commissioner of the SEC, his job is not to do what's best for college football. His job is literally to do what's best for the SEC.
Consequently.
Exactly. Right. Is it Tony Petitti? Is that his name? The new Big Ten? His job is the same. He's not charged with doing what's good for college athletics. He's charged with doing what's good for the Big Ten, and he's doing it. This all has negative downstream effects on college football. It just does. It's analogous to, not to get political here, but like, if you're the head of the RNC, your job is not to do what's best for America. Your job is to do what's best for the RNC, and same for the DNC. This is a problem. Okay.
Yeah.
College football desperately needs a commissioner to oversee all of it and do what's best for the game. It is not, it is not good for the game. And this will have downstream effects on the schools that think they're safe. If the Oregon States of the world, or the Washington States of the world, or the Cals or Stanford, or let's say the MAC schools, was going
to happen? Or the Indianas of the world, what is to stop when the Big Ten's when the Big Ten's TV deal expires and say, I think it's 2030, what is to stop Fox from saying, hey, we're going to double, you know, we're going to, hey, Big Ten, we're going to double the amount of money we're paying the Big Ten for the rights to televise your games. But we want to cut out the fat. We don't want to have to televise Indiana going to play Illinois. We want more games, you know, Michigan. I if you think you're safe at any point, there's what's next? Once all the schools they want have consolidated, I think the next thing is to start eliminating some schools.
And also, too, let's be honest. The Big Ten now, again, we have 18 schools in this conference, which is ridiculous. All of a sudden, it's going to be harder and harder and harder to schedule the payday games against the MAC schools or the
D. Oh, yeah.
And you know what? Those MAC schools' existence depend on those games. And if MAC schools go away, that is a problem for the big schools.
Yeah.
You gotta think that, but that's the reality, right? If you undercut the base of the pyramid of college football, it's bad for everyone, and no one's thinking about that. No one is. The other thing
and
is
that kind of what one more comment real quickly. You were talking about how it's not Greg Sankey's job to worry about the health of college football as a whole. He's in charge with, you know, looking after the SEC. The same thing with the head of Fox and the head of ESPN. Their job is not to do what's best for college football. Their job is to make as much money as possible for Fox and for ESPN. And that's how they're acting, and that's what they're doing. And no one seems to be able to stop them.
No, it's a destructive path. And think of all that we've lost and will lose. Mike, we've talked about for years in this podcast how much we'd love to see the Apple Cup. Guess what? The Apple Cup is done.
So is the Civil War. So is Bedlam. This year is the last Bedlam. Thank God I got to see one of those. It's horrible. And I know we're going to move on here in a bit to talk about Arizona and Arizona State and Utah moving to the Big 12. But at least Arizona and Arizona State stay coupled and they'll be able to play their rivalry game, you would think, presumably. But losing those rivalry games, that is – speaks to everything that made college football special. So, you know, will the game still be great? Will we be fans three to 5 years from now? Probably. You know, I don't know. I have no idea, you know, how this is all going to shake out in terms of my fandom. But it will not be what we grew to love about college football. It'll be something different.
No. One other thought I had, and I felt silly. I raised it with someone who likes college football, and I was like, look, you know, when the Big Ten added Oregon and Washington, and of course, USC and UCLA, I was like, God, this is the 18-team league with, I'm trying to think. So, like, I would say, like, true blue bloods of the sport. You've got Ohio State, Michigan, USC, Penn State. I'd put Oregon in there.
Nebraska, Wisconsin, maybe.
Right. Like, it's it's already a very hard league to win, okay? So, Mike, this coming year will be Penn State's 30th year in the Big Ten. And I think it's safe to say that Penn State is a solid top 10 to 12 program all time.
Mm-hmm.
In 29 years, this solid top 10 to 12 program has managed to win the Big Ten all of four times, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So my point to this person was like, look, Penn State's a pretty big time program. I think basically this means Wisconsin, Iowa, Michigan State, and everyone down below will never win the Big Ten again. They never will.
Yeah.
And their point was, it won't matter anymore.
Correct.
All that will matter is that the Big Ten will get three or four teams in the new 12-team playoff. And I was like, I hate that, but it's correct. It is.
Yeah, I completely agree with your friend, and I also hate it. And that's what my point was when I said earlier, the networks are simply trying to turn this into an NFL where it just doesn't matter. The idea that a conference title means anything is completely and utterly gone. You just need to get into the postseason like every other sport we have. The fact that that was not like what college football was about was one of the things that led us to love college football. It was unique about college football. And that's dead and gone now.
And this leads me to one of my things. The hill I died on, I hated more than anything else in the NFL. And I hate the NFL. I do. Resting the starters in week 16.
Oh, yeah. You're going to see that for sure. Absolutely.
The starters in the Big Ten championship game. You will.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. The Big Ten. Yeah, it, absolutely. I mean, that's where we're headed. And that's and we hate it. Now, look, again, we're going to devour that 12 team tournament. We're going to watch. The games are going to be great. And, you know, maybe college football will still exist. And I mean, we will love it as much as we did before, but it's going to be different.
Yes. All right, moving on real quick. Arizona, Arizona State, and Utah to the Big 12. As I told you last year, when we were in Utah on the wonderful trip we planned, I kind of wanted Utah in the Big 10.
Yeah, you said they were. I thought that was a great suggestion.
I think this is a great pull by the Big 12 and Brent Yormark. He did an amazing job. The league is still, actually, I don't know. Do you think it's on par with the ACC now or like still behind the ACC?
Well, it just doesn't have when you, the ACC, when you talk about Clemson and Florida State, the Big 12 doesn't have anyone on that level. But I think from top to bottom, it's better than the ACC as a football conference.
What do you think about Florida State throwing a hissy fit over the past couple of weeks?
It's just amusing. I mean, there's nothing they can do about it. From everything I've read, the Big Ten and the SEC don't really want them. And
yeah,
there's only two options if you're leaving the ACC. That's it. You're trying to get into one of those two conferences. Those are the only two conferences that matter. Plus, I think I read they'd have to pay $125 million to leave. So I don't know if they have a Kevin Plank, Phil Knight type of booster who's just going to write a $125 million check to get them out of that. But I thought it was amusing.
So I think the Big 12 will be okay. They'll survive. Their TV deal pays what,
30 something million, yeah.
31 million or something like that, which is still, it's so far behind the SEC and the Big Ten. I mean, it's like comically behind, but there's stability there. Mm-hmm. The ACC's problem, of course, is they're hamstrung with this deal that goes to 2035 or something like that.
Yeah, 36.
Oh my God. So
I know.
Clemson crew, how are they feeling?
Clemson seems to be, it's interesting because they're not making a lot of noise, Clemson. So I don't know exactly what's good. Like Florida State's the one making all the noise that you at least hear about in public. I think what Clemson is probably angling toward, and maybe even Florida State, and they're just doing it a different way, is that, you know, they might want, I don't even know if they're having it, but maybe they need more as like an unequal division of the TV money. So, you know, whoever plays more games on bigger situations or wins more gets more money. I think that's maybe where these other leagues might be headed.
I had this thought the other day, and in my mind, all that's happened in the past few years with realignment goes back to me to the days of when it was Jim Delaney running the Big Ten, and who was the SEC commissioner before?
Mike Slive,
and it was like a death match, right? They were like,
yeah.
And I feel like what's going to happen in the end, Mike, which will be like so ironic, it'll be those two combining together.
Yeah, kind of merging. I agree.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And on one hand, I hate that, but what a product that would be, right?
It'll be interesting. I mean, there's a lot of talk about your beloved EPL and relegation. A lot more people, you know, it used to be kind of a funny little thing to talk about. You know, what if there was relegation in college football and who would be up and who would be down? But now you hear about it a lot more. And Rick Neuheisel, who we love, made a great point. He said what just happened was that Washington and Oregon were promoted and Oregon State and Washington State were relegated. But yeah. It had nothing to do with the performance on the field. It had all to do with just money. And so that's what makes it just absolutely not fair for those schools, which I know we'll get to.
And I get to your point earlier. It is mind-blowing. Less so for Oregon State and Washington State, and not to be mean to them because like I respect them a lot, but the prospect that an athletic program like Stanford.
Yeah.
Could be left in the cold. Like they are the best athletic program in the country. They are.
You look at like their Olympic swimming team is usually like half people from Stanford. Tiger Woods went to Stanford. I mean, yeah, it's John Elway went to Stanford. It's a legendary athletic program. But it, this day and age where absolutely nothing matters except for TV, college football, television ratings.
All right. So we covered the Stanford Cal thing. There was some talk of Stanford and Cal landing in the ACC. I don't think it's going to happen.
That makes no sense. But can I bring up one quick thing that I heard Andy Staples mention that I thought was a brilliant idea?
Yes.
Again, it will not happen, but I just thought this was a great idea. Stanford, Cal, the three military service academies, and Notre Dame forming a conference. Their TV rights would be, they'd get a lot of money for their TV rights. They'd only have five conference games, and so they would all have plenty of time to schedule all those other schools that they like to play. Notre Dame could even play their five ACC games. The service, you know, I think that would be so fun, and I thought that was a great idea. Again, it will never happen, but I love the creativeness of that idea.
I saw it too, and I thought it was amazing. It would be a fun conference. I would watch that.
100%. Absolutely, and that would be, that would harbor, winning that conference would actually matter.
Yeah. And it would, it would elevate to Army, Navy, Air Force by without question. It would.
Yeah. Oh yeah, absolutely. It was a great idea.
Anyway, okay.
Stanford, Cal into the ACC to me makes no sense. Far less than Washington, Oregon, USC, and UCLA to the Big Ten.
It's funny too. Like, there's the dynamic of, like, you know, Cal is part of the same system.
Yeah.
As UCLA. So I've heard that there's, that UCLA is going to have to pay part of their Big Ten share to Cal.
I heard that too. Yeah.
Crazy. So all this stuff has happened. We are where we are. Also, what's crazy, Mike, is that because the Pac-12 deal expired this year, major error by Kliavkov not to get this done before it expired. This happens effective next season, which is insane. Insane. So how the Big Ten builds a schedule for next year based on the fact that the schedule's already done will be very interesting.
the Big Ten took, I think it was 18 months to come up with this big protected rivalry plus scheduling model that they just came out with to incorporate USC and UCLA. And now they have to tear the entire thing up and come up with a new schedule within, you know, a couple months. It's insane. It's wild.
So, of course, there's fallout here. Okay, I mentioned Olympic sports. I think this is terrible for Olympic sports. It is. There will be downstream effect here for athletes who are just like, they've got, it's hard enough for them now. Again, I used to work at Lehigh University, which is a D1 school, but lower level. What they were asked to do was already, it was their entire life. And their travel was between DC and Boston, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're asking kids to fly from literally New York City to Los Angeles. Good luck with that and how it's going to work out. What happens to fan interest at Washington State or Oregon State or any school that's left behind? That's a problem. We mentioned, I think it's awful, the loss of traditions and rivalries.
That kills me.
Yeah. It's horrible for the game. And also, in the long run, I don't worry about NIL. I don't. I think, as you know, Mike, I work in the fundraising world.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard enough to raise money for someone who's been personally affected by a medical condition, right? I don't think there's a huge pipeline of money for some donor to give it to some 18-year-old kid and see him squander it. It'll dry up. It'll be very – I'm not worried about NIL. I'm not, right?
No, I actually think NIL is a positive thing. I think some of these kids deserve to make money on their own name, image, and likeness.
My point is I worry more about your point earlier. I think the fact that TV runs the sport is a greater danger.
Yeah.
I do.
I agree. Now, I think that when you talk about fan interest, you have to quantify that as qualify. You know, Tim, you and I are old men at this point. We are in our late 40s. So we like tradition. We like things the way they were. So, but if you're an 18-year-old kid coming into college right now, maybe you think it's awesome that, you know, that Washington is going to be playing Michigan every year, or that Oregon's going to be playing Indiana, just to get the Hoosiers back in there, while we're still in the Big Ten for at least 6 more years. You know, so I'm not sure that loss of fan, like, there's definitely going to be the traditionalists and the diehards like us who are going to be wounded and are going to be, you know, longing for the days of old. But we're not the demographic that the networks want, right? They want the younger demographic, the 18 to what is it? It's always like 18 to 35 or something like that.
Mike, and we're so far beyond that, by the way.
We're so far beyond that. Do you ever fill out one of these surveys and you?
Yes.
I have to take like a second to think about which box I need to check. And now I'm getting like really, really up there. But the TV executives would not be doing this if they didn't know for a fact that it was going to bring higher ratings. So while you and I will yearn for the days of old, you know, I'm not convinced that it's going to be some kind of death blow to the popularity of the sport.
I think more in the long term, Like, again, it's not going to happen overnight, but the ACC has problems and the Big 12 has problems and the Pac-12 is dead. If you effectively kill football, if the Big 10 and the SEC do their own thing, and you make football in Big 12 country and ACC country second class, there will be effect for that. There will.
Yeah, I agree. But I think that, you know, super, super long term, you're basically going to have right now, you know, we have Division I and Division I AA. Basically, it's going to be one AA and one AAA. Essentially, you're seeing Division I, you know, half of it being cut off and elevated, you know, another level up. And some of those schools probably in those other conferences will be involved, but not the real question, who it's going to suck for are the Washington States, the Oregon States, the Texas Techs, the, you know, NC States. I hate to put in, you know, and I'm, as I've said three times in this podcast, I would not be surprised if you start to see some schools cut from conferences, you know. Those fans are going to be negatively affected for sure.
I mean, let's be honest, Mike. At this point, I mean, Rutgers was added to the Big Ten for one reason, to make a justification for the New York market, right?
Mm-hmm.
Does this Big Ten need Rutgers anymore? No.
Well, not only that, the entire model of television has changed from back then. Back then, the whole point was to get the Big Ten network on the cable networks in New York because they pay a per customer fee. But that's changing. Now everything, you know, people are cutting the cord and streaming seems to be the future of the streaming and like network seems to be the future of these deals. So yeah, Rutgers is on borrowed time as well.
I think I saw something, don't quote me on this, didn't like percentage of American households that subscribe to cable fell below 50% for the first time in.
Well, yeah, that's driving all these problems that ESPN is having. They're firing half their staff. So yeah, that's, we're changing. And that's another thing about talking about the future. I mean, we're talking about things like 2036. Do we think we know what type of, how people are going to get their games in 2036? I mean, you might have a pair of glasses that you put on and the game is beamed right in front of your eyeballs. And I'm only half kidding with that. I mean, it's just crazy. And the lack of stability in, I think, is unsettling in college football too.
And I think everyone feels beyond that, Mike, again, we're longtime employees in higher education, the instability in the industry overall.
Mm-hmm.
It's not great, Mike.
Yeah, no, people like stability, that especially college football fans. You like the fact that you played the team, you know, 86 straight years, and you know it's always going to be the Saturday after Thanksgiving, every other year at home, every other year at their place. But you know, things change. That's going away. Like this drink that I have in my hand.
Very heavy discussion so far. Let's do the top 25, Mike, and I will do, because the coaches poll has no value, let's do the AP top 25. Are you ready?
I'm ready, and I've really, I looked at this for the first time about 5 minutes ago.
Selected members of others receiving votes. How about kudos to the following for one vote? Liberty, one vote. James Madison, one vote. NC State, one vote. And South Alabama, one vote.
South Alabama, one vote. Fascinating. Wow, that's great that James Madison back up in their second year in among the big boys.
Shout out to, I've been to the stadium, the Glass Bowl. Mike, you know where the Glass Bowl's at?
That is in Toledo?
Toledo, four
or votes. Or Kent State, or one of those tiny Ohio schools.
It's Toledo, four votes.
Yeah, Toledo.
We got here. UTSA, 64 votes. And Texas Tech, 101. We'll jump into the top 25. 25, Iowa. 24, Tulane. 23, A&M. Very low for them. 22, Ole Miss. 21, North Carolina. Mike, any thoughts?
Yeah, I have a couple thoughts. Iowa 25. I can't ever remember a situation where an offensive coordinator's contract is tied to how many points he scores.
Yeah.
To me, that seems almost like gambling, you know, on your sport, which is something apparently half the Iowa team has done as well. That's an issue, but that's going to be fascinating. Not to mention, of course, he's Kirk Ferentz's son. And then my other point on these other top five schools, it is really going to be interesting to see Bobby Petrino, what he can do with the Texas A&M offense. I mean, say what you will about that guy and everything has been said about him, he knows offensive football, and I think it's going to be really interesting to see how the Aggies play on that side of the ball this year.
Now, what's going to be interesting is watching Jimbo and Petrino interact.
There's, oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like a move that was made because some Texas oil man went to Jimbo and was like, you're going to do this, and you have no say.
There should be a camera in the game, like on ESPN News, just on both of their faces. Every
play. Oh, I'm sure there will be.
anyway, 20, Mike, Oklahoma at 20, 19 Wisconsin, 18 our beloved Oregon State, 17 TCU, and 16 K-State. By the way, TCU in the playoff last year at 17. And I get why Duggan's gone, but that's disrespect there, I think, TCU.
Well, they lost a lot to the NFL, TCU, but that, I think it's actually a sign of respect that they're 17th. But a lot of interesting things here, I think. One, can't wait to see what Luke Fickell does at Wisconsin.
Yeah.
That I'm really, really excited for that. And they brought in this offensive coordinator from North Carolina, I believe, and they're going to open up the offense. It's going to be a totally different era of Badgers football. And based on what we know about Fickell, I think it's going to be successful. Also, love Oregon State. They have a ton of talent back. And now they have this, like, chip on their shoulder, the world is against us kind of attitude going on. It's almost like in Major League when they played to prove that owner wrong who was trying to move the Indians.
Yeah.
So I think maybe they have a big picture of Kliavkov in their locker room, and I hope they're not taking his clothes off like those beloved Cleveland players did in Major League. But hopefully. I think that's going to be fun. That's going to be fun watching Oregon State this year.
15, Oregon. 14, our beloved Utah. 13, Notre Dame. 12, Tennessee. And 11, of course, Mike, Texas is
there. Texas ranked 11. That's hilarious. Now, of course, but by all accounts, they have a lot of talent coming in, and this is going to be the year they're making their breakthrough. But I will definitely believe it when I see it with Texas. Tennessee, it's going to be interesting to see if last year was an anomaly or if Josh Heupel really has that program turned around. I think it's the latter. I think he's a good coach, and I think they have a good program there. So they'll be a fun team to watch. And yes, 14 Utah, 15 Oregon. We've been to both those places. We love both those places. And it's ironic that this is really like the strongest Pac-12 football season, you know, prediction wise that we've seen in a very, very long time. And the last season of the conference could be the best in the playoff era.
I know you hate this, Mike, but if you told someone What's the better place to see a game, Oregon or Utah? What'd you say?
Oh, I really hate that. I don't know. They're so different. I'd probably go Oregon by a hair, just because it's maybe a little flashier. I don't know. I love the stadium is certainly nicer in Autzen. It's a slicker stadium. The backdrop in Utah is better. It's beautiful with the mountains and everything. And I loved where their stadium was on campus. They're both great, but I would maybe go Oregon by a hair.
I was talking to my dad. And again, I respect both places. I love both visits. And I think I admittedly went to Oregon thinking, I've told you before, I was like, this can't possibly be as good as an atmosphere as like what everyone says it is. I had a stereotype in my head of like a Pac-12 atmosphere. Mm-hmm. And I was like, the Ducks fans are like, they're legit. I think fans will go there and be like, oh yeah, they belong in this conference. This is legit.
I think Washington, admittedly, we have not been to UCLA or USC. I've been to the Washington campus and I've toured their stadium, but I have not been to a game there. Their setting is breathtakingly beautiful right on the lake there in Seattle, University of Washington. But I think that Oregon and Washington, the later editions, are going to fit in more seamlessly with like football atmosphere than USC and UCLA. You need more for kind of, I don't know, the money, the media market, you know, the LA market, that sort of thing.
Yep, 100%. Speaking of which, number 10, Washington, 9, Clemson, 8, Florida State, 7, Penn State, 6, USC.
Fascinating that Florida State is ranked one spot ahead of Clemson. That is not going to be ignored in the Clemson locker room. Washington at 10 with Michael Penix. I really hope for success for them. I love watching him play. He's a legitimate Heisman candidate. God, do we miss him in Bloomington. And then I'll let you talk about the Nits.
It's funny. It's this is the last year of the division of the Big Ten. And it's, of course, been an impediment for Penn State to get past the two teams in front of them. But I look through this Penn State situation. They're going to be excellent this year. They could legit finish third in their division because of who's in front of them. And yeah. I think of like what Kirby Smart had to overcome at Georgia. He had Bama. He had to get past Bama, right? And Penn State will have a top five defense in the country without question. A great running back room, a great tight end room. But the challenge you are when you're trying to overcome these schools who are just a notch above you is like you lose people that you could really use the next year. Mm-hmm. Washington's gone. Michael Tinsley is gone. Tig Brown is gone. And all those are major, major losses. And Ohio State has, of course, the best wide receiver in the country. Michigan has the best running back room in the country. So it's like, mm-hmm. And Penn State has he's been hyped, but I've been saying since day one, you can't expect this kid, Drew Aller, to walk in and just be amazing. People didn't appreciate what Sean Clifford was. We're throwing this kid in there. So I've seen people say Penn State will be 12-0. I've seen some say 9-3. We're going to ask a lot of people to step up big time. It just speaks to, again, like when you, again, to the Georgia example, Georgia had to work so hard to get past Bama.
Mm-hmm.
And once they did, they're better than Bama. They are. Right.
Yeah, no doubt about it. But I guess the question for Penn State fans is, you know, is James Franklin on the level, on the par of Kirby? You know, I'm glad you said it because I'd say the same thing. And I mean, the problem with Penn State, you're right, divisions have killed them and everybody else who's not named. Well, actually, it's hurt Michigan and Ohio State, even though they've both gotten into the playoffs several years. But the Nits have to go to Columbus this year, I believe. And I mean, that's just never easy, obviously.
I mean, even Mike, week one is the big NBC debut game, night game against West Virginia. And they're not great. But again, a first time starting quarterback on a national broadcast
And those fans in Morgantown are going to be going absolutely apeshit. Yeah, that's going to be an awesome atmosphere.
It's actually in State College.
Oh, I thought it was in Morgantown.
No, it's State College. But even still, it's like, that's a lot of pressure on a kid. That is. And he lost his two top receivers from last year. So we shall see. Anyway, moving on.
They should easily win if it's in State College.
5 LSU, 4 Bama, 3 Ohio State, 2 Michigan, and 1 Georgia. By the way, the top 5 in the coaches poll, the same in different order. It's 5 LSU, 4 Ohio State, 3 Bama, 2 Michigan, 1 Georgia. Again, props must be given to Kirby to get Georgia where they are. They are the best program in the country. They are.
There's no doubt they're the best program in the country, and they have a very easy schedule this year.
Yep.
It's funny, though. You could put those 5 programs in a, you know, in a hat, shake them up, and that's been the top 5, you know, for quite some time now. It's interesting. LSU is kind of not, you know, knows their way back in with Brian Kelly, and he's really upgraded their talent. It'll be fascinating to see how they do this year. How about Saban? If you can say the number 4 team in the country and Alabama is a little off the radar, that's going to be interesting to see how they play. And then, of course, you just have Ohio State and Michigan killing time till their game on Thanksgiving weekend, and possibly both in the playoff again. And I think definitely will be Jim Harbaugh's last season at Michigan, by the way.
I've heard so much about that. It does make sense. You know, he's got the whole NCAA.
Yeah, he doesn't want to stick around and deal with this NCAA crap when by all signs, he's wanted to go back to the NFL anyway. I think this is definitely the season he does it after this year.
Unfair question. I know I'm putting you on the spot. Again, this seems to be the consensus that Harbaugh's done. Okay. If he does leave, I've been thinking about this. I can't think of an obvious person to take that job.
Oh yeah. Yeah. No, I haven't either. Like, didn't one of their assistants just go to the University of Charlotte, who was but I think he was kind of like a Harbaugh type of guy. I don't know. I think we can rule out Brady Hoke, though, right? He's still kicking around now out in the West Coast. No, I don't know. It's a good point. Mike Hart is a coach there, I know. I don't know if he'd be ready to take over the program, but it's a good point.
So big picture stuff, Mike. What are you looking forward to for the season? Besides just, again, like, this won't it be lovely just on that first weekend, even week 0, which I know, look, we have Notre Dame Navy, which I kind of wish – it'd be so fun for you and Brian to go to that game, by the way.
Oh, my God, in Dublin? I would love to see Notre Dame and Navy play in Dublin. I'm excited for week 0 because, well, for a couple of reasons. One, college football is back. 2 is that in week 1, I'll be in my baseball trip in Phoenix, so I'm not sure, you know, how much football I'm going to be able to watch there. What I'm looking forward to most in this season is just not talking about everything we just talked about for an hour, TV contracts, money, realignment. I'm ready to just watch football and enjoy it. And this is going to be the last season of college football as we know it. You know, when we get to that first Saturday after Thanksgiving, it's going to be the final Bedlam. It could be the final Apple Cup. It could be the final Civil War. I mean, this is just going to be, and when we watch these late Pac-12 games, I mean, there's always going to be late games on TV. That's one of the reasons that the networks want some of these schools out west. But, you know, these last Pac-12 games of Oregon playing Utah and USC going, you know, playing at Arizona State. I'm excited to watch all these games and matchups that we are quite literally never going to see again.
And that's very sad to me.
Really? Yeah, it is. It is. I mean, we'll get over it. There's more sad things in the world. And, you know, like I said, 5 years from now, who knows? Maybe, hopefully we're not doing this podcast in 5 years, but maybe we're sitting on this podcast 5 years from now talking about how all these moves made college football better. But one thing is for sure, it might be better, but it will not be the same.
And on that point, one last point. So I'm not alone in this. Again, I grew up in the Midwest. And, of course, I was raised on the Big Ten and Ohio State football. And all that being said, Mike, there was a romanticism about the Pac-12 and the Rose Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Tuning in for the 3:30 game for UCLA versus whoever and seeing, like, that sunshine. and the Arroyo Seco and all that kind of stuff. And I must say, like, it's sad to me that Pac-12 is dead. It was like part of my foundation of why I love this sports. And there was such a close tie between the Big Ten and the Pac back then, the Pac-8 or the Pac-10. So again, the game is changing. We'll always love it, to your point. It's just kind of sad how things are falling apart so quickly. But
yeah, yeah. And the Rose Bowl, as we know it, is dead.
And isn't that sad?
It was one of my absolute all-time, you know, my favorite, one of my favorite sporting events each year across all sports, across all 12 months, was 5 p.m. on New Year's Day watching the Rose Bowl. I didn't care who was in it. I don't care. I didn't care if it was for if one of the team, if, you know, if neither team was going to win the quote national title. It meant something in its own right. And it was one of the reasons I loved college football, and it's gone now. But what can you do?
Nothing. Anyway, nothing. Folks, last thing real quick. So we've been doing this now for 12 years or whatever.
Has it been that long? I mean, we've loved it, but it's been a long time.
Yes. So we're not going away, but we want to share with the audience that going forward, very likely we'll go to more of a monthly or like special edition kind of show model. It's just time for us to like step back a little bit. We hope we can provide you with some fun content. I've been thinking about, it's probably not going to happen, doing some writing again. There's more to come there. But again, we've had a great journey with this podcast. We're not going away again, but it's going to be not a weekly show anymore. But it's just the right move for us at this time. And I hope you enjoy what we can pull together. I think our plan is to do a show after week zero, Mike. Is that right?
Yes. Yeah, so we're going to do a show after week zero. I think maybe the plan is to do a show prior to the beginning of each month. So we'll do a show after week zero, kind of looking forward to September, to Labor Day, the Labor Day games and all the games in September, and then hopefully be back, you know, the week before the season continues in October.
And then again, if like the Big Ten and the SEC merge, we'll do a show for that, right?
Breaking news. We will do some breaking news podcasts if necessary, of course.
So thanks, everyone. And Mike, it was good talking to you again. It's been a fun.
Yeah, this was great. I enjoyed myself. I always like the first one, the first podcast of the season. And I'm like, oh, yeah, this is why we do that. And then what it gets hard is like October, where I have been camping and I haven't watched any games. And I'm like, I have no idea what's going on this weekend.
Yes. Anyway, so Mike, there's one thing to say.
I love saying it. Pacha.
Pachas.
Thank you for listening to the TCFA podcast. For more college football news and wit, visit intelligentcollegefootball.com.